Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Freedom Mortgage, dedicated to veterans and your homeownership needs. Visit freedommortgage.com/CBS Vets. NMLS 2767. Equal housing lender.
This time on Vet Story, we'll meet a Navy veteran who's gone from the fleet.
And I can remember my warrant officer saying, you know, I've never seen nothing like this. I don't get an E-3 coming to my command with a letter from the Secretary of the Navy.
To the football field.
You know, they gave me the opportunity and got me into sports and, you know, got ready to go to the NFL.
To the recording studio.
I played the piano.
To playing a birthday party for one of the biggest names in hip-hop.
And he said, hey, man, that song's my mom's favorite song. And so we go to the back, and it happens to be Snoop Dogg, his mother, him, and it was all the, like...
And eventually singing for two presidents on national TV.
And it was nerve-wracking because ESPN was like, okay, you're going to be in front of about 200 million people worldwide, and you're going to sing this before the president comes. So please don't mess up because we'll have to cut you out.
This is a look at the star-studded journey that brought one veteran from the life of a sailor to the life of a singer. You were like the Black Forrest Gump. Like, everything
is. Everyone
just
said that.
Like, it just worked out awesome for you, brother.
My name is B. Taylor. For those of you that don't know who I am, I'm a national recording artist and producer who was discovered by the Motown legends, specifically the last living original members of Smokey and the Miracles, led by Mr. Pete Moore. Also, I've been a true global ambassador and advocate of music and entertainment for United States military, veterans, first responders and their families after my service in the United States Navy. I'm challenging all my comrades, military, all my veterans, fellow Americans, entertainers, athletes, everyone, executives, to share this One Life video. Take the words, share this video, share it with love, spread more love, and just see how we can all come together, because we need to, and really make a difference and bring unity amongst everyone. One life.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Now, before we get into the One Life movement of unity, love, and peace, and how we are not to take life for granted, and your single that you got out now that's pushing a lot of good vibes, I got to say, I heard your story some months ago. You're an interesting cat, man. I don't think I ever, when I was in the Navy, met somebody with the diverse skill set that you have. So if I could, can I walk you through a little bit of your bio and you share with me some of the points on it?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Let's talk U.S. Navy. Where were you stationed? What'd you do?
So I was stationed. I did my school down at NATTC, Pensacola, and I ended up being stationed in San Diego. I was a aviation electronics technician that was actually during school chosen by the Secretary of the Navy and the CNO to play on the All-Navy basketball team and then later on the team, the military team, USA team. So it was really unique, and they gave me an opportunity during war to be TAD orders to get ready for the NFL after my meeting with the Secretary of the Navy. So
that's crazy. Okay, so let me see. You somehow get noticed for for having incredible ball skills, and
yeah.
It's basketball at first, right?
Yep, it was because I played before my time in the Navy. I played football and basketball. I played football and basketball for the University of Missouri.
All right, right. And then from there, I understand you went from college and you joined the Navy.
And then next thing you know, I'm an E3, and the command was like, we want you to give a tour because our CNO and Secretary of the Navy are coming in, and we're going to designate you to give them a tour of the school. So I gave them a tour of the school, and I started talking about my background in sports, and then I ended up playing basketball with the Secretary of the Navy and guarded him at the time. Was the Honorable Richard Danzig, and I blocked his shot on game point. And he ended up referring me and sat down with lunch and with the CNO and said, hey, you know, we're going to choose you to play basketball. And where do you want to be stationed? And do you want to play football? And about a week later, I had he told me to decide. He asked that I want to go to Naval Academy. So I decided, I was like, no, I don't want to go there, but I want to serve and do what I can. And if I can play these sports, it'd be great. And I get a call a week later to go down to the commanding officer, and next thing you know, I'm on the phone with the SECNAV at the Pentagon with his major, his aide, and the letter came in about an hour later to my commanding officer from the Secretary of the Navy.
That's crazy. And, you know, here I thought I was kind of a hotshot because when I was in the Navy, I was on an aircraft carrier, and I gave tours of the ship. It was a brand new carrier. We delivered it in Norfolk, Newport News. I remember at the commissioning ceremony, you know, the CNO is there, the admirals are there, the Secretary of the Navy's there. I didn't get to, like, reject any of them on the basketball court, and they didn't personally take any interest in my background. I mean, I think that is you're a rare breed, man. That is awesome.
Yeah.
I'll also make the comparison to, it kind of reminds me of that moment in Forrest Gump, you know, when they find out, like, this guy's got skills. He's a ping pong machine. And they sent him across the world to go play China. I mean, this rock star athlete that they discover. I mean, I'm just going to say it. You're like the Black Forrest Gump. Here you are. I was interested to note that somehow after this transition and you doing some athletics for the military, you were given an opportunity to actually try out for an NFL team. And it was the Chargers, right?
Yep, the Chargers. So I ended up getting to San Diego. Rest in peace, Junior Seau. But I ended up meeting him, and he came on the base and kind of introduced me to other players and took a liking, helped me. They introduced me to, at the time, and he played with New York. He was a kicker for Mark DeLuisa. He was a kicker for New York, and he ended up being an agent and helping me get an agent. And I took that back to the base, and, you know, Chargers came on the base, and, you know, I had that kind of that letter when I checked in the commanding officer. It's kind of unique because you don't check in as an E3 with the letter and all this stuff from the Secretary of the Navy and the CNO to the commanding officer when I came in with this package. And I could just remember my commanding officer and the whole, you know, different people, the chain of command was like, you gotta be kidding me. And I can remember my warrant officer saying, and he was a Navy SEAL, you know, I can remember him going, man, I've been in here 30 years, you know, I've never seen nothing like this. I don't get an E3 coming to my command with a letter from the Secretary of the Navy personal and the CNO checking in, you know, you just got in the Navy. So, you know, they gave me the opportunity and got me into sports, and, you know, got ready to go to the NFL, and it was working out, going to my job and then going to NFL workouts.
That's crazy. Okay, so we're doing double duty for a part time. Obviously, yep. You're not an NFL player, so we'll just suffice to say that, like, you didn't make the team. Is that
no,
it?
What happened was, no, I got ready. So when I was in, I was playing at a function while I was in the military on the weekend, and I had a couple guys that played college ball that were in the NFL, and they took me to a place in Hollywood, and they took me to a recording studio before, and in the place that it was going to be in Hollywood, I played the piano, and after I got done, this guy comes up to me with big hair in the back VIP area. And he said, hey, man, that song's my mom's favorite song. My mom and brother want to meet you, and my brother's famous. And I go, and I'm here with one of my Navy buddies, and so we go to the back, and it happens to be Snoop Dogg, his mother, it was all of the hip-hop guys, I met Snoop's mom, and Snoop, they was like, will you play at my mom's birthday? And I'm like, man, I'm in the Navy. I don't have a studio. They said, we'll set you up. So they introduced me to the studio. I go back to the base, and I come in with all these pictures after the weekend to my commanding officer. And I have these pictures with Snoop Dogg and everyone. And Snoop, they called the base and asked, could I play for her birthday and her wedding? And I'm getting ready for football. And I end up playing. They allowed me to play for her birthday. I played for her wedding. They set me up with a studio in San Diego, and the band that was next door to me heard about this. Snoop sent me in the studio, and next thing you know, I ended up coming in meeting Doink 182, Jimmy Eat World, and Green Day. And they were on their Pop Disaster tour and invited me to come as part of that. And I was like, I'm in the Navy. And once again, I took it over to the command, and next thing you know, I was a guest with Jimmy Eat World, Green Day, and Blink 182 on the Pop Disaster. It was the craziest thing. And so I'm still getting ready for football and going. And then I ended up meeting that same time in San Diego. I went to the amphitheater in San Diego, took my same buddy that was always with me. And we went to a concert and met the big security. We just roaming around going to concert. He said, what are you guys doing? He said, well, we're in the Navy. And, you know, I'm getting ready for football, but this is my buddy, we're in the Navy. He goes, follow me. We follow him, go on the tour bus. It's Eminem and D12. And we go there, and they start hearing about music. And so I was like, let me choose. And I got ready to choose it. And Eminem's best friend, Proof, at the time with D12, he was like, look, man, I'm going to have you come to Detroit when you get out of the Navy before you go into football. I just want to work with you. And after we do this D12 album, I want you to work on this Eminem and D12 album after. So I get out of the Navy, get ready to make my transition to going into football. I go to meet with Proof, go to Detroit. He gets killed, so I didn't know what I was going to do. And I was like, look, I guess this music, I'm just going to go continue football. I always grew up playing music in church, and I'll just stick with football. My parents had moved to Vegas, and I go to get a condominium. And long story short, that's the day I got the condominium, my neighbor says, hey, there's a Motown legend that comes through here. He never comes this way. My wife links to his wife. I would like you to meet him. And he never comes this way. Hopefully you can meet him before you get out of here. I know you got this condo. Your parents are out here, and you're going into football. He pulls up. He goes, my neighbor goes, oh, his name is Pete Moore. As soon as he said the name, gray Mercedes comes up. I run up to Mr. Moore, a Smokey and a Miracle.
Right, right.
He was like, yeah, so that's how it goes, Bill. And then I go down to his house 40 minutes later. He hears, sees my bio from the Navy, my football, hears my music for 45 seconds, has me play a piano, and says, you're what we've been looking for. Get your manager and agent. At the time, get him on the phone. I'm taking you in to Pat. We're going to pass you this Motown legacy. And that's how it happened, man.
I mean, literally, I think the Forrest Gump reference was a little more accurate than I thought, having heard it from
it
you.
Is.
You were like the Black Forrest Gump. Like,
it
everything
is. Everyone
has just,
said that.
Like, it just worked out awesome for you, brother. And I can't say it could have happened to a better guy because, you know, I've read what you're about now, and we're going to get into more of that here in a few minutes about your One Life movement. You're promoting unity, peace, and love. But you, just through that crazy period of time of chance meeting after chance meeting after chance meeting, found yourself on this kind of epic provincial path that wouldn't have necessarily been utilized to their fullest potential in the Navy. So...
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like, that's what the legends tell me. They always would say Forrest Gump, just what you would say. Everyone would be like, it's a true American Forrest Gump. You have to sit down and hear it because you'd be like, get out of here, you know? And it was like, that's how my career, that's how my life came, you know, from the Navy to this detour sports to meeting the legends of Motown. Like, if you would tell me this sitting in school, you know, growing up as a kid, that, hey, you're going to serve the military, you're going to play on all these teams, you're going to meet some of the most powerful people, the Secretary of the Navy and CNO.
Right.
They're going to put you on this team, you're going to go play football through this detour, and oh, by the way, you're going to meet some of the biggest artists while you're in the Navy and play for their family and their mom's weddings and birthday. And then, by the way, Holt, we're going to add you, and you're going to meet the legends and the founders of Motown, the Miracles. If you were to tell me that as a kid, like, just, you know, I'd be like, get out of here, man. You're crazy. I'm never going to meet these people.
Right, right. Amen.
You know.
Okay, let me do the sidebar questions quickly.
Okay, okay.
All right, Snoop Dogg's mom, Beverly Brodus Green.
Yep.
Now, what was that party like? Can I just ask, you know, as a voyeur? I mean, what's it like when you go to Snoop Dogg's family's house barbecue? I mean, that must have been crazy.
Everyone was there. Everybody you can think of that was there. I'm talking about from Nate Dogg to Eminem to Master P to Lisa Leslie to people from BET. It was just like a star-studded thing. And here, me and my buddy are ATs in the Navy. You know, it's like we're 80s on, like, it was the craziest thing because my buddies, like, you know, Justin that went with me when I first did this, he was like, this is crazy. We're 80s in the Navy every day. And then we're on this weekend. I'm playing at this function and we're just walking around in pitches. And he would come back to the base. He was like, y'all have no idea. This is like the craziest life. Because he was on this whirlwind with me.
Right, right.
And you could hear his parents going, get out of here. And then we would go and we would bring these pictures back at the time. And we would take pictures. We're coming back with these pictures in the base of Nate Dogg, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Blink-182, just all these random people. And we're in this Navy gear. It was just the craziest life, Phil. That, I mean, it was crazy. It's just the nuts, man. I thought I was in a dream, Phil, because it didn't make sense. And then, you know, you're going in dealing with, you know, our base and dealing with, you know, warrant officer, gunny sergeant. You know, you're coming in the base with commanding officers who, you know, do well and lead our U.S. military, our Navy, and Marine Corps, and you're checking into these guys with these pictures, you know, and you got this letter from the SEC. Now, if I could just remember going, Taylor, you know what? You never be in trouble, and you always squared away. But you're something else. We've never seen it. So it was a ride, Phil. It was just like a star-studded event, that first birthday party and her wedding.
Now, I got to ask, when you were playing, did you look up and look across the room and go, oh, shoot, that's Dre. Whoa, that's Nate Dogg. I better not screw this up because they're listening.
Oh,
I mean, were you nervous?
Oh, man, when I was playing that and her wedding, I can remember when Snoop was escorting his mom to the in the front, and I was playing, and then I played a reception. I'm like, dude, look at all these people. I bet not mess up.
Just don't screw
all,
up. Don't screw
up. Yeah, because this is thousands of people. This is Snoop's mom, you know, and I'm looking right at Snoop. I was so nervous because I had never played for nothing that big in my life.
That's awesome, man. Did he by any chance say anything to you, like more than, you know, hey, can you get me a drink? I mean, did he like say something like,
yeah,
hey, that was pretty good, or thank you for your...
Like, he always called me B-Tizzle up to this day, and he was just like, man, thank you. And then he invited me to his house. I ended up going to his kids' birthday parties as they grew up in Bowling. And, you know, I did a video with him about a few months ago. And I when I saw him, and he came to the video, and he said at the video, which he said, man, I've been knowing this guy. He's been with my mom, my brothers. He's been in my family for over 15 years. He's never asked for nothing. And he stuck to his brand, and he always represented the military. And Snoop was like, man, thank you for your service. He had never really said that. He was like, thank you for your service. He was like, anything to be his family. And he's always stuck to his guns, representing our heroes and our veterans. And he said, he's always been there for my mom and my brothers and my family. And this guy has been family since day one. Mm. And that was a few months ago. And it was cool. Before we even started the video shoot, he told everybody that.
Nice. I think it's just cool that you probably have his phone number in your cell. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't have anybody important's phone number that I could just randomly dial. You know, you better be careful you don't accidentally butt dial that, though.
Right. Man. You know what? Going through this world, that's why I know I had to back up, because I'm like, man, my mom said that one time. She was like, your phone is a little black, but you got to be careful not to lose this, because you got some pretty important people. You got Congress people, government, you know, joint chiefs, celebrities. Your
right.
phone's got everything in it, you know?
That's cool.
So, yeah.
Man. All right. He changed direction, Snoop, that is, most recently. And I heard another interview. I can't forget what it was. Maybe Steve Harvey or somewhere. But talking about how his new direction is gospel and how he's always kind of taken a liking to the, you know, the good book, and how he feels preaching and teaching is maybe more of his role in his career now. And I find it kind of interesting that your role has, or your career has also taken some turns. Obviously, we heard about the, you know, you switched lanes from the NFL aspirations to musical aspirations. Mm-hmm. And then now that you got on that path of music, you've changed lanes a few times as more of a global ambassador now. Tell me about some of the tours you've gone on. You didn't necessarily stick to pop music. You decided to do some meaningful music. Tell me about one of the most important or one of the most interesting performances you had.
When President Bush's daughter called the Navy to ask me to perform for the commissioning of her dad's ship and the library on the George H.W. Bush. And so my management and I were hanging out with the Bush family, and I performed for President Bush and the family and 10,000 troops on their dad's senior ship in the hangar. And we were up hanging, and she introduced me, and she said, I never had hip hop. And it was me, and it was Lone Star. So you had Lone Star, Richie McDonald, the country band, who has 12 like number ones. And then here I come, you know, as a hip hop artist with the Bushes. Like, it was, that was crazy.
And you got to meet President
Bush. Everyone, the whole family was there.
That's awesome.
And that was just the most craziest thing, you know. And then I went, and then you fast forward after that. When President Obama, which I've been with 8 times, asked me, the Navy got with President Obama to ask me to perform on an aircraft carrier. It was 11-11-11, the first basketball game against North Carolina and Michigan State on the aircraft carrier. And so President Obama asked me to do the Star Spangled Banner, and then I did the halftime show. That was scary. You know, that was like a big honor.
Yeah.
To do something like that.
I saw that because that was nationally televised, too.
Yeah, that was there. He gave a speech, so that was nationally, and I was with him the whole day. And it was nerve-wracking because ESPN was like, okay, we're going to be in front of about 200 million people worldwide, and you're going to sing this before the president comes up and gives his speech on the capture of Osama bin Laden with this historical game. And so that was nerve-wracking. That was an honor.
Yeah, amen, man. Dude, the force is strong in you, B. Taylor. The force is
Thank
strong,
you.
To put it in Star Thank Wars terms.
Thank you, Phil. Thanks.
That's awesome. I got to ask, what was it like to do the Star Spangled Banner in front of a sitting president? I mean,
that had to make you even more nervous. Phil, you know, this was crazy. You know how the military, you practice before, you know, ceremonies. Right. You know how attention to detail it is.
The day
before, we're doing a practice in the evening, so Shegnav's on the boat and all the high-ranking officials and Congress, because they had a ceremony of how, and so they had me go through the Star Spangled Banner. So I sing it, I go through as they're getting the ship ready and everything, and all the leadership is there practicing their thing. And I sing, and I was like, okay, cool. So come to find, I get ready. The next day, we're on TV, and I'm standing on the side, and it's all the media waiting for the president, Miss Obama, to come down the carpet, and all the media comes. And so he goes, please welcome, you know, President Obama and First Lady. And they come walking, and, you know, you got all the media sitting across, all everything from the White House to the Pentagon, all our nation's leaders on this ship. And the ESPN producer comes in my ear. He goes, okay, they're going to announce you next with the Star Spangled Banner. Oh, by the way, we didn't practice. We got F-18s, three of them, flying over your head toward the end, so you might not hear yourself, so you might want to hit that note. I'm standing here. I go, you got to be kidding me. And he goes, please don't mess up, because we'll have to cut you out on SportsCenter and all the news. Yeah, that's what he said to me. And I was already sweating, man. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You're just going to tell me this a minute before I go up on the biggest thing of my life in front of all the nation, and you're going to tell me F-18s is flying over half the way through the end of my last part and don't mess up, or you're going to cut me off on world TV? I was nervous. Bad feel. That was like a crazy, that was probably the most nervous thing time in my life. Because, you know, one of those things messing up, you can be infamous, you know, as remembered as that guy that did the...
Yeah, the guy that butchered the Star Spangled Banner. You don't want to be that guy.
You don't want to be that, especially on a historical day, on the first game on an aircraft carrier with the ship that buried Osama bin Laden's ashes and our president giving an address. You don't want to be that guy, you know? Like, I was that one I was sweating, man. That one had me.
That's the craziest story. That is the craziest story about nerves I've ever heard. And I, too, have attended some big events through the media and, you know, being involved in broadcasting. Nothing like that. I would have thought that, like, maybe a cool little presidential pep talk the way Obama could give him might have helped you out. Right. You know, like, if he could have looked at you and been like, now, look, B., what's going to happen is you don't need to be nervous. I got you. You got this. Right. You know, I could hear him. Man. I could hear him doing that in his Obama-esque kind of way.
And afterward, he gave me five. He's like, good job, man. And I said, well, I'm going to do the halftime basketball. I got a bet with James Worthy that I'm going to beat him because I play ball. So I seen Dick Vitale and all the ESPN guys, and they covered me in college, and they knew me in college. So I went in, and I ended up winning the halftime, the shooting, me and Tyler Nett. Tyler Hansborough, the Duke, he was player of the year, but he's with the Pacers, and we ended up beating James Worthy and his team, and I got done, and it was cool because Dick Vitale was like, he can sing, he can shoot, University of Missouri, Navy. So then President Obama and Ms. Obama was like, man, this was your day. You sung the Star Spangled Banner, you won the State Farm Halftime Classic, you know. That was a good day for me, man. So.
Dick Vitale, yeah, baby, this guy's got skills, yeah, baby.
Yep.
That's awesome.
He's going nuts.
Now, let's talk. Okay, obviously, we've traveled. Uh-huh. We've done shows. We're kind of an R&B, hip-hop sort of crossover, I'm going to say.
Right, right.
Let's give a listen to your song right now, the single, One Life.
Yep.
Let's just go ahead and get a little listen.
You know, I was sleeping in my room one morning, and Mama came in, and she sat on my bed, and she began to talk to me about life. And I looked her in her eyes, and this is what she said. Mama said, life has its ups and downs. Life has its leaps and bounds. Life has the good and bad. Life can make you happy or sad. Life. I remember just being scared of death, not ever wanting to take my last breath. Life. But I know that we all must die, praying our souls will go to the heavenly skies. There's been some rough and lonely days, like the things through. I take blame for me, but not you, you and you. We all encounter struggle and strife. Deal with it, B, cause that's real life.
We get one life.
Now talk to me. One Life, movement of unity, peace, and love. What's going on with this single? What are we hoping to achieve?
Well, basically, you know, my One Life, I had always started that when I did this song and met the Motown legends. I always been about One Life, and you know, and that was just me, you know, serving in the military and going through ups and downs, and you know, being away from family. It was like, you know, life is important. There's nothing more powerful than life and what you do with it in a positive. You should try to do something in a positive way, even though negative things come. You should try to overshadow by positivity. So, you know, I've always been on that movement. And then recently with all these horrific tragedies going on, and which affected, you know, me living in Vegas, you know, being a part of that and going down and seeing that and being with our city, you know, leaders who are friends and going down as a global ambassador to visit, it was just really something that touched me. And I was like, you know what? We just need to come together. You know, I never really thought about race in the military or in the, you know, the Navy. I had guys that were my buddies from the Marine Corps and all different kinds of walks of life and even in sports. And I'm like, I was tired of just seeing so much of the racism and just the hate going. So I'm like, look, guys, if we can all come together in our One Life and spread more love and spread more unity, and let's just see how you can help one individual and do it in a positive way, then, you know, we can help make change, you know. Like, let's not point fingers. Let's try to address issues. And if we do, we can agree to disagree. But to me, the best cause is what can you do to make a change in a positive way? And that's what this message is. And that's what my company is about. It's just spreading love and coming together to do the best that we can while you do have this life.
Mm-hmm. You know? We certainly do, man. B. Taylor. It is btaylor.com, correct?
Yes, sir. BTaylor.com.
Nice, man. The song, One Life, it's a movement of unity, peace, and love. Incredible video to go with it. I'm going to take us out with the song right now, but I just wanted to say thank you, shipmate. You've done incredibly cool things, and a little bit of luck, a lot of talent. And
thank you. Thank you, Phil. And I appreciate you for having me and having shows like this to encourage our best of the best and our veterans that we come from a fraternity and we still can make an impact in this country after we get done serving.
I wish you great things in the future, because it sounds to me like this is the medicine that we all need right now.
Appreciate it.
Make you want to quit. Days confused inside of a bottomless pit. Questioning why me? Why does my life have to be? But think of son, the man was crucified so that all human beings would have a better life. That the impossible could be possible, so that the unreachable could be reachable. That all mankind could be teachable, so that the non-belief becomes believable. This is life is something we can't hide. We gotta take it all as God.
It's better over here.
at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.